Blog Talk Radio.
With our arms open.
You've heard the words since you were in Sunday school. You have heard these professors remind you of them, both in words of warning as well as words of encouragement, and maybe even a few testimonies. A counselor, a friend, a minister of music, whatever capacity you'll serve in, on mission field or here at home, you'll use these two words. And they are, trust God. Two single syllable words that you have heard forever, but you will discover as time passes how difficult they are to obey. Trust God. Of course, I have no way of knowing what the future holds for you. You may lose your home and everything in a fire. You may lose your spouse to an early disease, detected but not cured. You may lose your dreams, your hopes. You may lose a relationship that you have cultivated over the years. All losses are painful. And you will be brought back over and over again to the words of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I know. You memorized them in vacation Bible school or when you were growing up at the knee of a godly mother and or father. And your lips will move as I quote them. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. All your heart, all your ways, trust. Trust. Now we have a problem with this because of several things. First of all, we are too blame self-sufficient. We have learned how to get ourselves out of jams rather than acknowledging the jam has very well been either directed or permitted by our sovereign God to teach us. And by not trusting Him, we short-circuit the test and go our own way, getting ourselves out of our own mess. We're too self-sufficient. Another reason we fail this test is because we're too quick to call on others. We have a lot of very capable friends. As life unfolds and you leave this school and you're involved in your church, your work of ministry, your realm of responsibility, you'll meet other people. Many of them much smarter than you are. Most of them richer than you are. Better connected than you are. And some of them will become good friends. And they will become your crutch. They have connections. And when you're up against it, they'll get you through it. Another reason we don't trust is because we feel distant from the God of heaven. Don't feel too guilty about that. So did Job, as godly as he was. And yet Job said, in the midst of all of the loss, though he slay me, I will trust in Him. Though He take me off this earth, in the process, I leave trusting Him. I will trust Him. The fourth reason I would name is that we have cultivated the bad habit of worry. Many of you are much better at worrying than you are at trusting. If you were to put together a worry list, it would outrun your prayer list. And you're worried right now about something. Most likely, it's related to something about your schoolwork, some course, some class, some test, or maybe your finances. You don't have enough money. I'll give you a word of encouragement. You'll never have enough money. So you're worried now, you're getting good at it, so you can carry that with you when you graduate, because you won't have enough money then. So you're worried about that. And you do not trust God. See how practical it is? And if you think you're going to outgrow the problem, take it from this old guy today, you won't ever outgrow it. It's like lust. You never outgrow lust. You just learn to fake it. I remember attending a Navigator conference when Lauren Sanney was president. We were at Glen Eyrie, and they had a returned missionary, I think 87, 88-year-old gentleman, who Lauren brought up to the platform, and he's a longtime navigator. And Lauren said, "Tell me, Dr. So-and-so, when did you conquer lust?" The old man said, "Well, Lauren, hasn't happened yet." You'll never conquer worry. It's part of the flesh. You want to, but the only way you will get through it so that you will learn from the test is to trust. To trust. To put the worry on hold, to set it aside, deliberately shoving it away and saying, "God, at this moment, I rest in you and you alone." If you're married, "God, help my spouse and me to trust you, to lean on you, to wait on you, to listen to you, to endure the test with you." I put together a quick list of things that reveal how little we trust. When you choose to worry, you do not trust. When you try to fix what is impossible, you do not trust. When you hurry ahead and don't wait for the Lord to move and to change, you do not trust. When you lie awake twisting and turning at night, you do not trust. When you doubt biblical principles and promises that are right here in the book you love and study, you do not trust. When you turn to others first for help, you do not trust. When you listen to human counsel and give a higher priority to that than the principles you have just learned, you do not trust. When you manipulate and maneuver situations, you do not trust. When you step in and take charge without praying and being led by the Spirit of God, you do not trust. When you cling to others in order to feel secure and needed and loved, you do not trust. The list goes on and on. See how easy it is to live in the flesh? How easy it is to disobey? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Wouldn't it be a great project over the Christmas season this year to think through ways that you can begin to trust God regardless? Hopefully it'll be a project that you and a good friend or you and your mate can enter together. What is it we do that keep us from trusting God? And how can we break that habit? and watch God break through in ways that we would never have expected. Cynthia and I have a longtime friend who was raised with four brothers in Southwest Texas. They were raised on a very poor ranch. They eked out a living. One of the brothers wound up getting into Baylor, going on to UCLA Law School, and earning his degree in law, and has since become a very fine attorney in the Southern California area. We've been friends since the mid-1970s. One of his four brothers stayed at the ranch and developed it, cultivated it. The other brothers moved away, as did our friend. And the one who stayed, along with his wife, really turned the ranch into something much more successful. Grew crops that worked, got cattle, bred them, sold them, little by little kind of got on their feet, and finally became pretty much financially stable. Then the fires of 2011 across Texas swept through their area, and they came to that ranch. By now they knew they would lose all the cattle. They simply opened the gate, and amazingly, those animals know where to go, usually know where to go to find shelter and safety. And they fled, hundreds of them. And they barely left, unable to get anything, much of anything in their pickup, and they drove away. Came back a number of days later when allowed to enter this territory, and everything was melted. Everything. Even the metal roof on the shed, on the barn, had melted down and sort of peeled its way over, and what it landed on, it kind of was that metal profile. As everything is lost, all possessions, all pictures, thankfully no lives. Strangely, the cattle got back and were clustered around in a herd around an enormous oak tree, and they were able to get them back. Of course, the fence had burned, so that has to be rebuilt. And they said to one another, "We realize at that moment our faith would either kick into action or we would move far away from the God we had loved and served." They chose the former. They determined they would rebuild. They're in the process right now. Living with a brother, putting house and home back together, having lost it all. The Lord taught me through my shameful response, He'll win this battle. Trust Him. Trust me. Trust God. Just to rest upon His promises. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Trust God.
God, we're grateful, because if it had not been for You, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because You gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because You gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because You blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into Your presence, because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before You today, have Your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified, that You might be glorified, that Your people might be edified, in the name of Jesus. For God, in You is life. And that's what we seek, God, life. Eternal life, God. And we pray, oh God, today that You will touch every person that have come seeking You, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come in to war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer, and Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our troubled lives, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God this morning for another Thursday morning. We headed right into that weekend. And tomorrow we'll be ending this week and coming to the weekend, and we thank God for it. And that was, let me see what is the ministry year. And the name of that song was The Cause. The first song I played was by Luther Barnes, and the Spirit Falls on Me this morning. And we're grateful unto Almighty God. I got to tell y'all a funny thing here. Went out to the Apple Store yesterday to exchange the phone. And I was also sure I made the appointment Tuesday for the next day, which would have been Wednesday. So I get out there and get a parking space finally. Nikki comes out. I had walked from the little parking space over to the Apple Store and got there, and they asked me, you know, why I was there, and I told them for repairs. And the guy told me to talk to the young lady to the right of me. I went over to her, gave her my name, and she couldn't find an appointment. I said, what? She said, I don't see you anywhere for today. Well, I stood there for a second, and people was lining up behind me. I said, well, can you look at tomorrow? She said, sure. So when she looked at today's date, it was there for 12:25. I said, Barbara, you got a sublime. You moving too fast, too quick, and too furious, and just messing up around here. But I was blessed and grateful unto Almighty God that I made it out there safe and met with Nick, and we had lunch, and I come on home and had my Spanish class and got some things done, you know, some mopping and cleaning. And I'm grateful unto him. He's an awesome God. I mean, we make mistakes, but he's right there in the midst of our mistakes. So it just tickled me real good. I said, yeah, you got to slow down. You're doing too much and spending too much time trying to help this one person. You got to move it around because there's more people that are in dire straits, and some people want to talk. They vent and do different things. So thank God this morning that he is able to see us through. And today we have Brother Jermaine coming. He said he would text me when he's on his way. And he want to talk about the vaccinations and what he found. I listened to some videos that he sent, and the people are kind of talking low. And I wasn't able to find them on YouTube. I looked and researched. I could not find the videos on YouTube, although that's where they say they are located. And some people from the different companies that's making the vaccine, they speaking low, and they said, you don't have a microphone on you, do you? I'm like, why? Because they don't want anybody to hear what they're saying. Yeah. They don't want anybody to hear what's being said, because they're telling, and some of these like scientists, they are actually in the laboratory making these vaccines. So I'm waiting for him to come in and share with us today. And we're moving on in Jesus' name. Because, you know, when I see a force or something, I'm thinking it's more to it than what I'm seeing. Because if not, why do you, who are in leadership, are forcing me to have this? When I am 64 years old, been taking care of myself for years. I know if I eat rat poison, I want to die. If I drink Drano, I know I want to die. If I walk out in front of a fast-moving car or truck, I want to die. Because these things will kill you. I basically know right from wrong. I know if I go to the White House and shoot at it and just keep shooting at it, I either want to die or I want to go to prison. Yeah, so why is it that I'm an adult and these many years I've been taking care of me and keeping myself safe. Now all of a sudden, a vaccine has been generated and I'm forced to take it. If I don't take it, I won't have a job. If I don't take it, certain places I can't go, certain things I can't do, because I didn't take what was forced upon me. And a lot of times, they are rumors. But how many know there is some truth in there somewhere to a rumor? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So I'm thinking prayer is the key. Our faith will open the door. We can ask God for anything. It's already done. God hears everything we say. And while we're calling on him, he's already there. He's on the way. Prayer is what will fix it every time, over and over and over again. And I believe like this. I didn't feel led to take it. I didn't feel a nudge or the spirit of the Lord move upon me to take the vaccine. I felt, leave it alone. Don't go near. Don't even take the COVID test. This is what I've done. And the things I heard on these videos, I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah. But I pray for every believer that took it, that God would flush it quickly out of their system. Whatever it was designed to do in there that was evil, it will not take place. Because I remember Apostle Paul, the scorpion bit him, and he was supposed to die. He didn't die. So we can take any deadly thing, and it's doing nothing to us. Because that special blood of Jesus is running through our veins today. And it's nothing that his blood cannot combat. I believe he has angels that will even perform surgery, blood transfusions, all of this. If not himself. I remember I was in Alabama. I went out under the power of God. I was sick that Sunday. Oh, y'all have no clue. And the bishop called me out, and when I went out, he began to pray for me. And he laid his hands on me. And when he laid his hands on me, I went out under the power. And as I was laying on the floor, when I looked back at it, I could see the Lord performing surgery in my belly. But that day, I got up, and I'm going to be honest with you. I was looking around. I said, now, who knocked me out? Whoever knocked me out, I'm knocking you out. In the church, this is what I said. But I never found out. Nobody hit. Nobody knocked me out. I found out I went out under the power of God. And he healed my body right there. I remember another time. I had an ingrown toenail. I'm talking about it was severe. It was infected. Painful pain. I didn't know what that was. I was doing all kind of stuff to my toe. Spraying it, Neosporin, all kind of stuff. But that ingrown had to be removed. And I didn't know that. So all that I was doing to it, it wasn't healthy. On a Sunday morning before church, early. That toe was hurting so bad, I said, I can't take no more of this. I'm going to the emergency room. Went to the emergency room, and the doctor told me, he said, I got to fix that toe. I got to stick you and numb it and cut it and this and that. Saturday, my son had told me, the youngest son, child, he said, Mama, he said, knock on the dashboard 3 times. I'm looking crazy. What? He said, knock on the dashboard 3 times. I knocked on it. He said, Mama, God is going to give you some money. God is going to bless us to go home, and he going to heal your toe. I said, okay. I went on. Well, I went to the P.O. box, and there was a check. And I told my son, I said, we going home. I got the money, and we going back to Jacksonville for a visit. Plus, I want a Jenkins barbecue from Jacksonville. We going to eat Jenkins. And that's what I did when I went to the emergency room. he didn't stick the toe because I was scared. He didn't cut the toe. I was scared. He said, well, the only thing I can do for you is prescribe you some antibiotics, but it's going to take a couple of days. I said, okay, I'll take that. I said, and can I take something? He said, yeah, Tylenol, that'll help you with the pain. Well, I did that, and I went on home. Well, I got home, got dressed for church, and I had a sock and a bedroom shoe on and my regular high heel shoe on, we called it. And I got to the church and Sunday school and started praising God, and I felt a relief from the toe. It's like something burst in it. I looked down, I said, oh, I got to go. So I went back home and washed the foot, lotioned it back up, bandaged the toe up, put the other heel on to the heel I had on, went back to the church and danced before the Lord. Do y'all hear me? God is able if we can but trust him. So I can't help what they're saying out here, what they're giving out here, what they're doing out here. That have nothing to do with me. Evil men have come together. Y'all better admit that. Evil men have come together and they have decided to do some stuff. And if the people of God don't pray, don't get in the word, you're not going to know what's going on. I wrote it down this morning. When I tell you daily, I plan to have me a personal Bible study. Daily. Not in the mornings and then the next morning and then the day after that, I get so busy, I get it the next day. Every day, I got to get in this word. I got to go back to Habakkuk. I got Joshua. I got to go back there to Jeremiah. I got to go back there to Isaiah. I got to get in these books, all 66, and study like a nut. I'm telling you. Because what's coming our way, we're going to need the word of God so we'll know what's going on. We're going to need his word so we know this hour what to expect. Because I believe when I hear of all these things, don't be alarmed, just know it's close to his return. And prepare for his return. I was thinking all the laughing. I love it. I love to laugh. All relaxation. I paint by numbers. I do all kind of things for relaxation. Because if not, I'm constantly building. I'm constantly making. I'm constantly creating. So I found a way for myself to relax painting by numbers. I take the Spanish class. After I get this down so far, then I will begin the keyboard lesson. All of that is fine. All of that is good. It's wonderful. Because you're never too old to learn. So what we need to do is get in that word more. Pray more. Make sure you're in that word. Because, see, you can pray anytime, anywhere, in any place. But it's important for us to really know the word of God so that we can know what's going on right now and what to expect that's coming. Because I believe by the first of the year, I believe something is coming. And if we're not prepared in the word of God, we'll be running around like a squirrely bird. We'll lose our minds. The pandemic came, man, people just going nuts. So many got scared and they ran to the altar because they thought the world was ending. They didn't know what to think. But I hated for them to be scared. You know, fear is what brought them. But nonetheless, it brought them. If they study the word of God, if they get a prayer life and build that relationship with him, they would be oh so thankful for the pandemic that gave them fear enough to run to God. But I'm sharing this morning this. It does not matter about a vaccine. I didn't take it, and I don't plan on taking it. I won't take it. I'm going to put it that way. I'm not with evil in no type. When I say the devil is using man, he has put men together, and they are breathing out evil. They are breathing out cruelty. against people, against the people of God. This is who they're hoping they destroy. Do you know when you gave your life to Christ, that devil hates you? He hated you more than he has ever hated you because you left him. He won't get a chance to use you anymore in the way he desired to. He won't get a chance to take you back to hell to suffer with him. You believe this morning. That means God has drawn you to him. Look at the world. Look around. He has not drawn everyone, and the only way they can come is if God draws them to him. I can pray until I turn green. I can fast until I pass out. I can give everything that I have away. But unless God draws them, they cannot come. I can visit every prison, every dope house, every prostitute, every pimp, every dope man. I can do any, all of that. But unless God is drawing, they cannot come. Somebody need to tell God, thank you this morning for drawing me to you. Lord, I thank you. You drew me. The day I heard your word, I didn't harden my heart. Get that word. And that's what I'm going to bring more and more, the word of God. We bring it every day, but I got to increase in the knowledge of the word of God and bring it so that we can know. I read some things. We all don't believe the same things. We all don't believe in the same way. Some people believe they can come to the altar and say, I do, and walk away and still go back doing the very same things they used to do. Not so, not so. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. But it says, if he be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. But how you will remain to see things new is that you allow the changing of your mind from God to take place. Most people that know about God or heard about Jesus, they know about the Bible. They know they are supposed to pray. They may not know exactly how to pray. They may not know exactly where to start in the Bible. But they know these two things, prayer and the word of God, is associated with being saved. So when you leave that altar, you got to pray. When you leave that altar, you got to start studying this word. I recommend John to everybody, the book of John. I recommend that to everybody. I recommend Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And then I recommend you go back to Genesis and come all the way up through Revelation. Because those four Gospels, especially John, starting with him, it will give you foundation. It will give you a beginning of what's going on. Now that you've received what you really have, now that you've received him, what's expected of you. You have so many people today, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. Going to church, I promise you, it does not make you a Christian. Going to Bible study, not applying it to your daily life, it does not make you a Christian. Obedience makes you a Christian. The love for God to do what he says. The love for God that now he gave you this new heart, you're going to use it in a new way. You're not going to use evil no more. You don't need that. You're going to come out from among the world and be separated. He's going to be your God and you're going to be his people. You no longer desire to get drunk. You no longer desire to club. You no longer desire to lie, cheat, steal, commit adultery, any other evil thing. Work witchcraft, work voodoo, black magic. You no longer associate yourself with these things. Realize it's against God and it's the work of the devil. It's evil. Anything coming from the devil is evil. So we got to hit this word more and more. Because a lot of people believe, I went to the altar and I believed and I received. It goes beyond that. I promise you it does. Way beyond that. We talked about the Holy Ghost. We talked about prayer. We talked about fasting. Guess what? It's more. More to come. I used to be concerned. I used to say, well, Lord, I don't think they hear what I say. I don't think they really understand because they have their own agenda. They're not hearing. It don't sound right to them. What they hear is what they've been taught. What they hear is what they believe. But we got to get with the program of Almighty God and stay with it. I can be saved Monday, backslidden Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday night. I come from being drunk and whatever. Now I want to get to church tomorrow, and now I'm going to be saved again. I'm going to be a Christian on Sunday. I got to be that every day. I got to be the true follower of Christ, not because the fish in the loaves, not because I want to see him work miracles, not because he can speak in my life, but I want to be his. And I want to do what he has done, what he's doing and what he will do. I believe every believer should have their light shining so that men can see their way to God. I believe every believer should come together and not dispute the doctrine. Because if we both believe in Jesus Christ and we believe in those four gospels, we should be somewhere with somebody should be with us on a corner preaching, because we're trying to get as much as the word out of the gospel. We're trying to shine that light again so that men can see their way to God. We pray before we go out. Ask God to cover us in the blood of Jesus. Ask God to loose his protecting angels to stand watch, to shield and protect us from all hurt, harm, or danger. Loose your ministering angels to minister me while I minister to others. Yeah, we've got to get serious about the word of God. Anybody know me? No laughter is my first thing. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. But there come a time to put laughter on the shelf, because it is like medication, and we don't just keep taking medication all day, all day, all day. We put that medication down, give it a chance to work. And the next time it's due, we take it again. So put that laughter on the shelf. Seek the word of God. Bring nothing but the word. And it's going to be all right. I have given testimony after testimony because God has done these things for me. I've been in situations. I've dealt with people even since I've been saved. Yeah. But God always brings us out if we'll meet him, if we'll stay with him, if we'll remember him, if we let nothing separate us from his love. He loves us. I can't hear what other people saying that don't love him. I can't be participating with the world. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. I'm going to look different, act different, because I am different. I'm of a royal priesthood. I'm peculiar. Yeah. So Brother Jermaine is coming, and he's going to talk about these vaccines. And Brother Lewis, some of them, I think they're talking about that it's bad medicine developed using aborted baby tissue. Yeah, I think one of these videos talked about that. One lady was sharing that, I think it's Pfizer, that they don't let them close doors, that you don't pull blinds down, everything is open. But all of a sudden, a group of people come, and they had to close the door, and they wanted privacy and this and that. One man said that, I think one of the scientists, they had made billions of dollars off the vaccine, because you're going to hear them several times ask, well, do you think it's money the reason this is being pushed? And you're going to hear him say, yeah, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's good information for your flesh. If you're walking in your flesh and you want your flesh to be led, and you know, you need to know what's going to happen for your flesh. I need to know about my soul. I need to know where I will spend eternity. I need to know more about the God that have all power above me. That's what I'm into that. Because no matter what you do to this body, I'm going to be present with the Lord. Yeah. And if I'm suffering for his sake, oh, I'm good. So I'm coming back to reign with him, rule with him. Yeah. Coming back to judge the world. But I got to continue to open God to the fullest. As Imbagasa said, kick it up a notch. Yeah, kick it up a notch. So we got to get in that word and stay there. I want to do a 6 o'clock Bible study. And I was thinking of that thing this morning. I got to see how the Lord lead and guide. And then come in the morning and again, Bible study. We in this word together. We dissecting it together, line by line, precept by precept, as they say. We want to know what he's talking about. And I want to bring some preachers that's breaking it down for you. I want to bring some preachers that just got to spread it out. You can't miss it. It's impossible to miss it. So Saturday, I'll be looking for those type preachers, because Sunday I'll be at the prison, but Saturday I have time. Well, I'm going to take time and get it done. Hallelujah. I thank God for being busy. I thank God that I can still do stuff. But it come a time when something you have to let go and get in that word. Some things I've had to read 5 times to understand, but I went back. Yeah, because I have to show the Lord, no matter what, I'm determined, Father, to know your word and to apply it to my everyday life. I'm determined to live it just the way you want me to live it daily. And how about God come in and he'll bless you? Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you today. So listen, we're moving a little bit further. I'm going to another song of the morning. And matter of fact, when we come back, I'm going to go ahead and open the studio. And if anyone has something they would like to say concerning the vaccine, feel free to press that number 1 this morning. We're waiting on Brother Jermaine. He's coming. But I don't know what time he haven't given me a time, but he said he would text me when he was on his way to come in. So this is a request, and I didn't get them all downloaded yet, but I have more, and I will download it.
Yeah, Jesus, you're my everything, yeah. My everything is you, Lord, yeah.
My gratitude.
you make my hands come your butt.
God is even mindful of me. Yeah, who am I that he's even mindful of me? All I deserve is death. My righteousness is as filthy rags. I can never do enough right to get it right. I come from a sinful nature. I was born in sin. I come here really to do wrong. And God knew it, but yet he so loved me. He chose me for a work before I entered my mother's womb and allowed her to bring me forth. Well, he brought me forth through her and allowed me to go through different things. My sinful ways, my crazy thoughts. He knew this before he brought me forth. But when I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me, you understand? And not today that I know him, I'm so glad he did it for me. And every day I want to put a satisfying smile on his face that when he hear my name, when he look at me, it causes him to smile because I come out of darkness into his marvelous light. I gave my heart to him. I gave my life to him. I gave everything, my will, everything to him. Have your way in me, Lord. Have your way in my mind. Have your way in my heart. Have your way in my body. My hands go up in praise. My feet get light and I dance. Oh, yeah, even with bad knees. I come in here yesterday morning, cut the rug. I wish you could have saw it. Yeah, before him. Before him. He's so worthy. And that was Joe Metter this morning, my everything. God is my everything because I don't have nothing else but him. He's all I got. He's all I got. And really, he's all I need and more. I can call on him in the midnight hour. I can call on him early in the morning. I can call on him midday. I can call on him in the afternoon, mid-afternoon, at night, midnight, anytime. He's never too busy to hear my heart's cry. He's always passing by. He's always there. He's always with me. And if I pay attention, he leads me on the right path for his name's sake. But I must pay attention. God is faithful. He's for us today. We got to be for him. We got to give the devil back all his tools and let the world go. Family, many cases we're going to have to let family go. I heard the songwriter say, I'll go if I have to go by myself. Because many times people are not in the mood for God. They're in the mood for what pleases their flesh. And if family members in the mood for flesh pleasing, I'm going to have to go off and keep rolling. Because I'm in the mood to please God every day, all day, as often as I can. He made me for his flesh. And when I look at my hands, I got 5 fingers on each hand. God did this. Made me in his image. This is what he had. When I look at my wrist is connected to my hand, then connected to my arm. And my arm is connected to my elbow. Elbow come on up to the rest of the arm and connected to the shoulder. God did this. He designed us. Anytime we go through things, sickness, sometimes children are born with defects, but we keep these children and raise them, as they say, or train them up. And many times in their adult life, they're not like everybody else, but guess what? God made them in his image. They have 5 fingers on each hand, 5 toes on each foot. Huh? Hand connected to wrist, wrist connected to arm, arm to elbow, elbow to the rest of the arm, and then up to the shoulder, the neck, the head. Ears connected to my head, I can hear. You put a nose in the middle of my face with nostrils, I can breathe. Gave me lips, teeth, tongue, I can talk. Eyes, eyebrows, eyelashes, I can see. I can bat. Yeah. Sometimes eyes get teary, and when you cry, it cleans your eyes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He made us in his image. He gave me an upper torso, gave me a stomach. Connect eyes to the hips, thighs connected to the knees, knees connected to the leg, leg connected to the ankles. This for us. Good morning, Apostle Boatwright. God bless you this morning. What an awesome God. What a faithful God. Organs in our bodies that we could live. A liver, a kidney, a spleen, a this, a that. Inside a gallbladder. Appendix. He made a body that man could live. Man could function. So who am I? The God is mindful of me. He made me. It's his love that caused him to be mindful of me. It's his love. It's his grace and it's his mercy that remind him that I even exist. Look how many people in the world. His word says he shines on the just as well as the unjust. And I believe the unjust is blessed because of the just. God is keeping his people safe. And because we are safe and we're in the same world, he's keeping the unjust safe. But if we'll sit on the hill with that candle burning bright, we can show the unjust the way to God. Yeah. I think we should have microphones and PA systems on almost every corner that we can on major streets. And we are sharing the good news of Jesus. We're shining that light up high bright so people again can see the way to come to God. Come on in. Come on. Come on. Come on. Whosoever will, let them come. But we as believers are the people of God, the saints of God. We got to let go of self-religion. We got to let go of being so holy until, as they say, we're no earthly good. We got to let that go. And we got to learn to love people right where they are. This is why so many people come. You love them right where they are. You don't persecute them. You don't accuse them. The devil doing enough accusing. He accusing us, the brethren. He do more accusing than we need. So we don't need to be a people to accuse others and point out their illnesses and spiritual illness. We don't need to do all of that. What we need to do is speak to Jesus. Encourage them to pray. Encourage them to study the word of God. Encourage them to pray for the wisdom of God. God, give me wisdom. Give me knowledge. Give me understanding that I can apply your word to my everyday life just the way you want me to live it. I pray this prayer. I put it down, and every day I have to look at it. And it just simply says this right here. I want to find it so I can give it to you. Lord, it's the prayer, simple. Lord, give me wisdom to teach your people as you would. Just like Jesus taught on the mount. Help me to reach the lost. Because there are a lot of lost out there. A lot of people have what they call takeover spirits. They come to church and they want to tell the church how to run everything, tell the pastor what to do and all of this stuff. But guess what? You don't have to do that. There's so many corners you can go on and declare Jesus is. You can go on any corner you want to and share. People will stop to hear. But it must come from your heart. And it must come from love. Yeah. For God so loved the world. He wants us to love, not be religious and we can't stand that. Oh, they cussing over there, I'm gonna die. Oh, I saw them take a drink. Oh, I got to run. What in the world? How you gonna be like Jesus and you can't stand nothing? You don't think Jesus sees him dirty cussing? You don't think he's seeing him smoking weed? We need to pray and ask God to help us to be a witness unto him. Show me the way, Lord. Help me to be an effective witness unto you in the name of Jesus, that I've spread this good news. That's good news. Jesus is good news. Without him, we wouldn't be here today. It was God that had the way to redeem us back to him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because we were sinners. We were just as bad as everybody else out there doing whatever. Some people say, well, you see, I never smoked weed. I never could drink. I never went with men. I didn't do this. You were doing something. He said, we all have sinned and come short of his glory. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son. Why? Every one of us. We can't pick and choose the sins and pick and choose the wrongdoing. Sin is sin. Wrong is wrong. Categorize the big sin and the little sin. What? A white lie and a black lie. What? A lie is a lie. Sin is sin. Wrong is wrong. No level to it. It's just wrong. But we got to fix it up, you know, so it can look better. All right, Sister Jerry, I'm coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Good morning, Sister Barbara. I am well. How are you?
I am blessed, and I cannot complain today.
I am blessed, and I won't complain. I just called to say hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Father, our God, I give you the highest praise. Hallelujah. For we all have sinned and fallen short. But Lord God, I just want to tell you thank you. Thank you that each time I have fallen, I have never broken anything or hurt myself. So Lord God, I tell you thank you. And I haven't fallen one time. I've fallen as many times as three times in one day. And used my life alert more than three times in one day. So, Lord God, I thank you. I see the value that you have on my life. You have put the word of trust me. No matter what it looked like, Jerry, trust me. I saved you from the car that was backing in the tree. Trust me. I saved you from the gun that wouldn't shoot. Trust me. I have saved you the truck that ran so violently into the back of you. Your car didn't explode. Trust me. Yes, you got some bruises. Yes, you got some pain. But you also have me. Trust me, Jerry. Obey me. And remember, don't put nothing or no one before me. I don't care what their problems are. I don't care what's going on. I come first. And your trust in me must come within your mind, in your heart. When I speak to you, Jerry, those words out quickly to wherever I tell you to do them. I don't care if you don't even know the people. Trust me. You must put me first. So, Lord God, this morning I promise, no matter what man is saying, no matter what it looked like, if it doesn't come from you, Lord God, I can't do it. I can't listen to my brother John's problems all day. I'll tell anybody, ooh, I got to go to bed. I got to get up in the morning. I never said that about my job. This is not a job. This is love. I was on the phone with Baba one night. I said, oh, girl, I got to go. What? I got to go right now. I got to go to bed. I got to get up in the morning. I got to get to Jesus in the morning. Now, she's the host, but I'm running to go to bed. Hallelujah, Jesus. No matter what time it is, if it's after 6 o'clock, don't bother calling Jerry because she's going to bed. She's got to get up for Jesus in the morning. Calvin don't even bother me after 6 o'clock. Because I'm not playing with Jesus. Because he's not playing with me. I'm not running after Jesus for his money. Because like I heard the man's praying this morning, you'll always have financial problems. I'm running after Jesus because I enjoy the love that he gives me like I've never experienced from anybody in my whole life. And I don't ever want to lose that type of love. Lord God, never please turn your back on me. You taught me that no matter what I've done, you love me the way I love my children. And you won't allow me to run into any burning house. So I thank you this morning, Lord God. I thank you, God. I thank you that my hip go out and my knee go out. And I fall down, but I don't curse. Because I tell you, God, this is a lesson that you're teaching me, and I'm enjoying the blessing. Now I'm starting to feel the strength in my legs. But even at that, God, nevertheless, if I fall, it's your will, your desires. And for whatever you desire or your will is for me, Lord God, I'll accept it. I can't put my sister, who I know that's on drugs, before you, Lord God, no matter when she calls and blah, blah, blah. Hey, girl, I got to go. Jerry, I'm still talking. I know, but, you know, I got to go. My time's up. I set a time in my life no matter what's going on. Grandbaby, no. Oh, can't call grandmama. She's in her Jesus time. He called me a few minutes before Jesus time yesterday. Grandmama, did I get in time to talk to you for a minute? Yes, you only have about 4 minutes. I just called to say, love you, Grandmama. Love you, too. And Grandmama, one thing. What? Please keep me in prayer, too. Yes, God. Yes, God. Well, I don't want to take up too much more time, Barbara. I just want to tell God thank you.
Amen.
I want to tell everybody that's listening. God has not forgotten anything and anybody, Jesus, that you have not forgotten me. For I am a sinner. I was born in sin. But Lord God, keep me straight. Keep me on the road of straight and narrow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And amen again. I thank God this morning that he's for us. And if he be for us, he's more than the whole world against us. We're going to go through some things now, because must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No. Bear the cross for everyone. And I know there's a cross for me. Hallelujah. We just got to be willing to go through. And Sister Jerry, I just don't believe that God is just letting you just fall. I believe the enemy is involved in that. And I found out when we are sick or have something going on, the enemy is at work. Because God come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And because at one point I was saying, you know, the devil is just busy. They come to me, no, that's not the devil, Barbara. That's you eating wrong and gaining that weight. God heals you, but I can do the same thing. He blessed you to be able to go to the doctor, and the doctor's blessed to be able to tell you, get the weight off, stop eating the crazy stuff. Do your listen, Barbara. So sometimes it's what's going on with us. But I say this to you, Sister Jerry, you're healed in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
You are healed in Jesus' name. I believe this is why the therapy and many other things God is allowing for you, because that heals. Hallelujah. Thank you, His Majesty. And we just believe God and walk by faith and not by sight. Tell him thank you and keep it moving in Jesus' name. Because it could be so much worse. You know, you could not be able to get around at all for yourself, do nothing for yourself. Everything takes place. Somebody got to do it for you. You know, you got to go to the bathroom. Somebody got to take you. He has blessed you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you today, God. We thank you for all you've done.
I'm on that train. I'm on that train with no ticket. I don't need no ticket. Because the fare is free. Thank you, Jesus. Father, the Spirit. It's like I call you every night before I go to bed for one thing. It's like your anointing just flows on me and I rest peacefully. I said, Barbara, I got to tell you the truth. I'm only talking to you so your anointing can flow from you to me to put me to
sleep. Don't tell me that.
Thank you.
Yep. Yeah. And you're not the only one.
I don't take a pain pill to go to sleep. I call Barbara and say, Barbara. And she do that little friend, and I hear that the engines is flowing. Oh, there's a train coming. I don't need no ticket.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Your God is safe with us. He loves us and he wants to
be. Keep on being that working man for Jesus. Please keep being the working man. Nothing should separate me from the love of God. Keep on being the. I wasn't ready years and years ago, but Lord, you knew you was coming at my husband and you sent me Barbara. Oh, she brought me through some time and crying times. Oh, Jesus. I didn't take up too much of her time, but she reminded me who God was. And all I had to do was do what she was telling me, thus say the Lord. I didn't waste the time the same thing and coming back talking about the same crazy stuff. No, God. You sent me a woman of God that kept me on the road of straight and narrow. There were people coming at me from all angles. And it's like they were lined up waiting on my husband to die. Some people I didn't even know. I'm like, what is this? Lord, I thank you for Barbara Jean Pittman. For being there when I needed her the most. Thank you, God. Thank you for her anointing every night. I don't even take the sleeping pill anymore. I say goodnight to Barbara when I feel her going to sleep. I say, Barbara, I got to go to Jesus in the morning. Now, it's her show, but I got to go. Thank you, Jesus. Puts me to sleep. And when Barbara said, Jerry, I ain't having a show tomorrow. What? No show tomorrow? Thank you, Jesus. Because when there's no show tomorrow, Jerry, you're supposed to get in your word and let God be all the voices you hear. If there's no Jesus in the morning, you become the morning and let Jesus be your show. Thank you, God. Don't come so dependent on Barbara. I want you to know that I am the one. I'm the one keeping you safe. No shot. No. Umbrella. Because I'm causing the rain. I am the one that's keeping you from harm and danger. Not that alarm from ADT. Don't you know people can put a magnet on your house, bypass the alarm, and come on in? You safe because of me. Everything you have is because of me, not man, me, Jerry. Keep that in mind. Each time you fall, I'm that pillar. Why you don't have a broke hip, you don't have a broke leg, broke arm, or you don't fall when you're in that cooking hot pots and they don't fall over on you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's no greater friend to me. I don't know about nobody else, but to me than God. May the work I done and is doing be pleasing to you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I just can't thank him enough today. Prayers you prayed this morning reminded me you may lose it all. But when you come back, your cattle will still be there, hurt and waiting on you. The fire may wipe you out, but I can still rebuild you. You may wake up feeling so sick in the morning going, oh, I'm so sick in my body. I'm tired of this. No, don't be tired. Be grateful. But that's a testimony for someone. I don't want to take up this show, so I'm going to put my own self on mute and just sit back and praise God. No,
amen.
It's not the series, so. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give him just a few minutes, he told me, at the bottom of the hour, and then I asked him, and he said 8:30. And so I told him, when he come in, just come in, press it at number one. That was, oh, there he is right there. There he is right there, man of his word. Good morning, Brother Jermaine. God bless you. How are you?
Oh, hey, good morning, Sister Barbara. I'm doing pretty good. It's I always get a smile on my face when I hear the sister talking, you and her interacting. Just, it kind of feels like I'm in somebody's home. So, yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
That's good. Well, look, I'm going to turn the floor over to you. Took a listen. I tried to find these on YouTube. Now, they are from YouTube, Brother Jermaine. And I went this morning very early to find them, to listen. Was not able to pull them up.
Yeah.
Was not able to pull them up. But it's okay because I still have them here. And I decided to just turn it up as loud as possible. And you let me know when you want me to play them. And if you want to introduce them or, you know, tell us about it. Because I'm hearing stuff too. Baby tissue has been used to make this vaccine. So feel free to just jump right in and share with us. We need to hear it.
Okay. Well, yeah, good morning, everybody. You know, for me, I just want to state before I get started that I'm not anti-vaccine. I think that the problem with a lot of what we're hearing these days is they made a new creation, a new title. They put you in a new category by saying you're an anti-vaxxer if you speak out against this stuff. And, I mean, I've had different vaccines before in my life, and when it concerns medicine, like the dentist or whatever is going to cause extreme pain, I say, hey, give me what you got. It's just in this particular case, what they're calling a vaccine is almost like kind of like I don't say oxymoron, but it's almost like a play on words. Because when you say vaccine, you think cure. You know, you think you got the solution. And while I know some people may be okay, there's a lot of people that are not. And that's why I just wanted to kind of help spread some awareness that there is more out there than what we're being told. And it's not a conspiracy when as many people as we're seeing have issues coming out saying that they've been adversely affected. So, again, I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm just saying we should be very cautious concerning these particular vaccines. So, you know, this particular round of vaccines was given as an answer in response to the, of course, the corona pandemic. And the coronavirus is real. You know, everybody by now has known somebody either to have it and to be, you know, affected by it in some way. From what I've seen, most people end up okay. They go through whatever difficulty, but a lot of people did not had that same success. There was a lot of people that passed, and, you know, I'm sorry to hear that. It's terrible. But we got to tell the whole truth. There have been other people out there who have had treatments, but this whole thing started with Operation Warp Speed back during the Trump administrations. And I think that's a key. That's important because a lot of companies got together and they did something that wasn't done in the world. They just created a vaccine from start to finish within a year. I think it was 9 months. And I remember it was said to be impossible. There was no way they were going to get this stuff out. But they banded together and they got it done. Now, the way traditionally medicines are made, they're traditionally made over a period of time. You have clinical trials, and clinical trials typically take years. You know, they take a while. They have phases, but I guess because of this particular situation, you know, we're being told that these particular clinical trials were done in an extremely speedy fashion, and since the whole world was concentrating on it, we were able to get that done. But then as time goes on, like anything, you start finding things out. And you find out that what they called a clinical trial, it looks like it was maybe a couple of months worth of trials versus years. So, you know, that's something in itself. But from what I understood about people, watching people behave during the pandemic, we saw a lot of fear. A lot of fear, and we've seen fear can make you do things. It can make you be receptive to something before you fully understand it. And I knew people who were so excited to go get their vaccine, and you know, they were all ready to jump in line because they didn't want to die, which is understandable by some of the stuff we saw on the news. But again, I think when you really take a look at what's going on now, the reality is half of America has not had any vaccine. At least half of America, the numbers, you can never be too sure, but a lot of people have not had it. But the other thing that they don't like to talk about is a lot of people are actually doing okay by now. You know, and we were told herd immunity. Once you reach herd immunity, you wouldn't have to worry about everybody having to take something they weren't comfortable with. Well, if we have the majority of Americans supposedly having the vaccine, my question is, why in the world are we still having certain states locked down? You know, certain people in positions where, you know, the nurses, the first responders, the firemen, the doctors, the police department. This time last year, they had people literally standing on their feet cheering them for going to work. And many of those people have still been going to work, and now all of a sudden they're getting laid off. Or not laid off, they're getting outright fired because they don't want to put this stuff in their body. And now they're villains. You know, and it's all because they're going up against almost like a machine. And the pharmaceutical companies is what it looks like who is funding all this stuff. And for me, that was a big red flag. That made me say, hey, when I see that many people who risk their lives and risk their life to save other people's lives every single day, all of a sudden say, hey, hold up, then it makes me take notice. Why are they refusing to do this? So, again, you start doing your homework and you start coming up with things other than what the mainstream media is telling us about. And there's so many sources that I don't even have time to put them all together. It was just so much stuff. But one particular individual that kept popping up is a man named James O'Keefe. And James O'Keefe is an investigative reporter. What's interesting is depending on what search engine you use is going to dictate what kind of information you get. If you use Google, even Yahoo, one of the main ones, the first thing that comes up on Wikipedia is he's a far-right political activist and provocateur. I mean, he's just doing this for fun, just trying to provoke people. But in actuality, this man he's an investigative reporter, and he breaks stories that a lot of the mainstream media won't touch. And he's been, you know, instrumental in getting vital information out there to people about things that only sounded like conspiracy. He was one of the ones to expose CNN for being biased. You know, he caught people on microphones that didn't know they were being recorded. And again, that's why I like what God has to say about the secret things being revealed, you know, in the dark. Things you say in the dark, you revealed in the light. And a lot of these people, when they didn't know they were being recorded, they said some very revealing stuff. But he exposed CNN for being biased. He exposed a lot of the election stuff. I don't care what side of the political spectrum you are on. It's just you want a fair and balanced event. And you know, many times these people were doing exactly what we suspected them of doing. He, years ago, was one of the people who is responsible for exposing what was going on in the ACORN program, where he posed as a pimp, and he had a couple of his people working for him portray prostitutes, and that's available on YouTube. And they pretended that they were applying for the ACORN program, and they wanted to open a brothel with underage prostitutes. And some of the ACORN employees were helping them get the paperwork signed because they, you know, it was all about money. So one of the biggest stories that he did do was a story on what was going on with COVID-19. And, you know, it's some of the stuff that was exposed sounds like it was right out of a movie, out of a comic book. But the reality is these people said it. And I found I like to do my homework, Sister Barbara. I don't just, you know, pull something up just because I feel a certain way. If I look at a point, I look at a counterpoint. You know, I like to look at both sides to I can make my own decision, not just what somebody feeds me. And I looked up videos trying to debunk Project Veritas. That's his company again. And the videos trying to debunk it only made it more real to me, because when they're trying to debunk, they're trying to debunk the style of journalism he uses. They call him an ambush reporter, and they don't feel like he's fair to everybody. But they say that Project Veritas edits a lot of their footage. Well, some of that may be true, but the reality is it's hard to edit what people are saying, you know, on a microphone without being recorded, not knowing they're being recorded. You know, you catch somebody lying, editing or not, they did it. It's almost like entrapment. You know, it's kind of like when people complain that you entrapped me, it's like, yeah, but you were speeding. So they did a series of five videos. You know, they went from everywhere from nurses who were undercover, doctors who were saying things, not knowing they were being recorded. They caught some of the scientists who worked for these pharmaceutical companies from Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, and I believe that some of the Moderna people as well. And they caught them saying some very interesting things. Now, it doesn't surprise me. You said you had trouble pulling up the videos on YouTube because they do have a channel, and I was shocked that they left it up, because, meaning YouTube, some of the stuff that they were saying was so just powerful that I knew they was going to get censored. And when I tried to send the link to people, I noticed that the link, I would just click on it myself. I was curious, and the link would stop working time. So I had to actually go in and manually search Project Veritas, go to their video channel, and then search through their catalog to find the COVID series, COVID Exposed, and send each video one by one. That was the only way it seems like you could find it. But if you try and type it in general, it doesn't just pop up. And they also have their own website, projectveritas.com, where they have their series on their own website, so it doesn't get censored. But the first video, I believe, is a nurse who works in the federal system at a federal hospital, and her conscience couldn't take what she was hearing. She was recording. During the recording, she caught doctors. She caught other nurses who knew exactly what was going on. And they were saying exactly what we had all thought. And they wonder why a lot of people, minorities, you know, poor white people, just working class people, why a lot of people have such a problem going to the hospital sometimes. It's because at the bottom of your heart, you kind of feel like, depending on the doctor, that they don't necessarily care about you. Not all of them. There are some good doctors out there, some good Christian doctors, and even non-Christians, there's people who believe in the oath that they took. But the reality is you always get a feeling sometime that I believe God gives you as some kind of form of just intuition, where you know something is not quite right, or you feel like, hey, maybe this doctor is just kind of running me through a mill here. But, well, one of these young men who came in, sounds like he had an adverse reaction to the vaccine. And the thing is, they were discussing him without him, you know, knowing what was going on, of course. They knew exactly the symptoms. These are some very intelligent people to work in medical. You have to be intelligent. And they figured it out way before they even had to really fully examine him. And then when they go to his room, explain to him, one of the doctors said they didn't necessarily know everything going on with him, and they just sent him to another place, you know, didn't just pass the buck. So that's the first. Did you want to pull that one up?
Okay, wait. Let me see exactly right. Is this the number one? Is that the one?
Yes,
that says
yes,
number
ma'am.
One?
Yes, it is.
Wait a minute.
And I do want to, I was going to say, I wanted to warn some people that these are people being recorded in real time. So you might hear some profanity, but it's not profanity from entertainment. It's just profanity from the fact that this is real life. They're recording people talking. And I think it's very important that some of us hear some of this so we can make our own decisions.
Okay, let's see now. I'm going to turn this up a little bit, Bro Louis. Already up there. Okay. All right. And I'm going to turn this up because I got to play it.
By James O'Keefe. Pre-order now at AmericanMuckraker.com.
Get Flow Dart to change in. Go to the Ambassador, flow it into them. Flow Dart it into them. We're reading about how the COVID trials, they were having an issue recruiting African American people.
Brother Jermaine, tell us about this one. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. I remember reading about how the trials to African-American people have a different medication the government tried to do that was designed to kill African-Americans.
Also, we don't mistrust them.
Yeah. And we know that now.
Yeah.
But, like, again, I think there's still this big mistrust in, like, it's deep rooted. But at the same time, like, low dar, where we go. Yeah. I mean, my personal thing is, like, you know, you get low dar to change. Again, I'm
a little bit low dar to
change. Yeah, Johnson & Johnson.
Would you,
like, go to the unvaccinated, flow it into them, low dar it into them?
Yeah.
That's where I am at this point.
How do we reach the majority populations? Is there a way to do it? I don't get back to normal.
I'm sure there is. I'm not prepared to answer it, though. Other than look at it. Because I think that is a great solution.
The problem with that is, African Americans, they might think that it's like almost like a callback to like getting shot by like first.
It's time. It's first.
There you go.
post like video campaigns about doing the white first, and then they can't follow it.
Then the kids say racist.
Exactly.
Because it, again, there is the almost harkens back to like the
shot
in Africa by Blow Dart, and then
Put
it on.
We'll have to hire some Amazonians first.
Yeah.
Because like they'll get it done.
How good are you at blowing darts?
One of the DFS to get an Amazon rainforest tribe out here.
Yeah, I mean, the undocumented immigration is pretty much an issue as they possibly can. So,
I think what the issue is kind of is, even for the large population of people who are going to choose not to evacuate because they don't want to admit that they are undocumented, again, you're going to create this issue where it's,
I know there's enough to go around, so this is how to
sort
in order.
So I'm gonna go door to door instead of them. Oh, it's just your boots are soft. on five. I mean, you can tell them it's like a flu shot or something. So mostly, I mean, I'm sure they don't need to die either. So the death rate's gone down. This is the one thing that I hate about these statistics is, you know, sometimes you can make comments the way that you want to show the information. So you can definitely do that, you know, if you let COVID kill off everyone over 60, let's say. Everyone under that age is going to have an easier recovery period for the most part, so the death rate will obviously go down. Oh, we're doing a great job. Death rate's down. It was like, okay, you killed off like 400 people. Yeah. Hmm. And again, one of the things about statistics, like, okay, play around. Sometimes you can find the thing to tell you what you want to tell you.
Well, I just figured that it would be a no-brainer that they would push their research out.
Yeah, I'm... Again, I understand FDA's position because it was like, oh yeah, they only produce the data for 65 and older with these boost shots. They don't have the data to say, oh yeah, it does the same thing for 20-year-olds. And it's like, okay, but do we think it's harmful for 20-year-olds to get a booster shot? That's my question to FDA. And it's like, they're like, they didn't provide enough data. And it's like, okay, and then... But I don't think I'm... So that's my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you're an undercover journalist, you can't quote me. Okay. So this is the thing that's always, like, really crude in the economists, is we have a certain value that we put on each human life. And so when I think about, like, government mandates like that, I think about them in those terms, which, you know, is terrible because I think each human life is themselves, but, like... Okay, so if you give 1 million vaccines and 2 of them are blood clots, okay, you have a loss of $10 million about in your, like, government regulation type growth rate because each million, like, account for about $5 million. Taking risks and all that stuff, but, like, okay, so if you give these million vaccines, you get everything back to normal. Are you making more than that $10 million loss, or are you not? And that's the way that, like, we're trained to, like, try and think about these things in terms of cost-benefit analysis. But again, my own opinion is very different, but...
So you're trained to explain that maintenance?
Yeah, so, like, with our econ training, with, like, when I learned how to do my job.
Were there, like, ever played politics with much return?
So, I would think that people there, so the people who are the actual scientists, no, but there are political appointees that are generally scientific advisors who are appointed by the president or the commission. So they definitely go.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're being paid if the other people are staying in power. Unfortunately, everyone ends up playing politics. But I don't think that the career scientists are. I think that the people that they're unfortunately having to report to because these political appointees are being put in place. That's part of, like, the Senate confirms the people who chose them and just pick their people.
Okay, so Brother Jermaine, explain that to us a little better.
Okay, that was a... I recognize that. That was video 2 in their series, and that was one of the people I believe that worked for, I think it was Johnson & Johnson. I know because he sounded real effeminate, so I couldn't forget him. And he was basically, he was caught several times over several conversations with whoever he thought he was hanging out with was actually a whistleblower. He was basically caught several times making jokes about African Americans and other people who won't get the vaccine. Now, his whole point of view is the fact that he did say, if you know, when people go on to watch the video, that parts of him understands why a lot of people feel like they can't trust the pharmaceutical companies and the industry. But at the same time, if they meaning some of us won't take it, basically tricking them into taking it. Now, I like to be fair, and I know a lot of what he was saying was kind of a joke. At the same time, when somebody repeatedly goes back to that joke over and over and over, it at least shows you that part of them might be serious. So he's basically joking about if black people won't take the shot, then, you know, go to door to door and just violate their rights, trick them into getting it, get them to get it whatever way possible, just so, you know, people like him and others can go back to their way of life. Which I find interesting is they ask you if you know, to do it by choice, and then they try to compel you, and then they try to force you and then trick you. So that's basically what that particular video is about, is supposedly ending the pandemic, which has not happened, even with people who are vaccinated now. It's just, it's a fantasy to think that it's going to end just because people have gotten a vaccine, which if you really pay attention to the data and to the numbers, the reason for booster shots is because the vaccine has been wearing off. So that's what that video is ultimately about, and that's why he's talking about booster shots. That's one of the reasons he's talking about boosters, if that answers some of your questions.
Yes, it did. It did. Now, I am not, I wouldn't consider myself anti-vaccine either, Brother Anthony, for those who want it. If you want it, I am not against you in no way, shape, form, or fashion. Go and get it. Because the choice is yours. I'm not upset with nobody who want it, who get it. Because to each his own, you may feel you need it. So if you feel you need it, get it. But for Barbara, my personal self, no ma'am and no sir, I want nothing to do with it. I'm good right here. And I'm going to be better as time progresses. Oh, God is going to make me better, you know. I cut back on the sugar and this and that. And I see 1 pound. I see inches losing. I'm good. But it's just sad to me that people are forced to take what they really don't want to take, you know?
Right, right.
I mean, if it really was helping the people, I'm going to say that. I know, then yes. But a lot of spots, what I know about, the people that took it got sick, some died. I mean, those who didn't take it, they didn't get sick and they still living. So I can't say what for people. I can only talk for me. And because of my faith, I trust God for real. It's not a figure of speech. And in my trust in him, I have been blessed over and over again. So I just feel like this is another time to simply trust God for me. I'm really talking for me, no one else. Yeah, so that's just it for me. Because, see, evil is in the world, and men come together to do evil. And if we really don't have God, we have a form of godliness, and we deny the power thereof, we're going to hit brick walls. It's going to be bad. And our thing is, we who say we're believers and all of this, we must get in the Word of God so we'll know what's going on, why it's going on, what to do while it's going on. Yeah. Because a lot of us, we don't know. We don't know what's going on. We riding the wave. Well, whatever, Lord. But he's already spoken. He has already told us these things were coming about. And no matter what wisdom and knowledge we get about this stuff, I don't know what it's going to do for you. But I do know what God will do for you. I do know that. I know he heals the sick. It's him that raised the dead. It's him that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't even come your way. It won't even come near your family if it's God's will. Now, we can't play with him now. We can't tempt him. We can't put ourselves in harm's way and then screaming something. All right, they gave you a heads up. Wear a mask. Wash your hands. Sanitize, sanitize. Wash your clothes. Take a shower. Don't be in large groups. I don't care how much vaccine you get, you still should be doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
I think. I mean, to each his own now. That's the way I am. As long as you're not bringing it to me and it's what you want, I'm fine. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy your life. Now, if you're going to bring it to me, then I'm going to start screaming and yelling now. Yeah. So that's my take on it. I mean, if anyone else has something they would like to say, feel free to press that number one and come in. There's no right and wrong answer in my book.
Well, you know, Sister Barbara, I think a lot of what you said is the way a lot of people feel. And whether somebody agrees with it or not, it should be their choice. That's what we was told when this whole thing originally started. And, you know, a website that people need to check out, this is a government website, I've mentioned it before, it's called VAERS. It's the Vaccine Adverse Event Report System. And, you know, they put it into an acronym called VAERS, V-A-E-R-S. It's a government website where you can report if you've ever been adversely affected by any medicine and these vaccines especially. Now, the original video, Project Veritas, if you search on YouTube, I just looked it up. The channel is still active, but you have to do the work to get to it. So it's Project Veritas, V-E-R-I-T-A-S, and then you scroll down through that menu until you get to COVID-19 exposed. The very first video that they do is a nurse in a hospital secretly recording doctors and other nurses who know exactly what's going on, but they won't talk publicly, but they were talking privately amongst themselves at work. And one of the main issues that people have is they didn't know they could report adverse reactions. They thought you just tell your doctor is supposed to report it. And they mentioned that on one of the first videos, that the doctor is supposed to report, and one of the other doctors blatantly, or one of the nurses, excuse me, just says they're not going to report it. Says they gave all the information, but they won't report it. Nobody wants to be up against these pharmaceutical companies, which makes you wonder what kind of hold they have on the industry, all in the name of money. And I know you don't have time to play every single video, but I would suggest everybody who's serious take some time out their day and check it out and form your own opinion. But you'll hear why we're seeing some of the things we see going on in our government and in our world. One of the scientists, and these are not just ordinary people, these are actual scientists who work for the pharmaceutical companies who, again, they think they're at dinner on a date or something. One of them basically just says, look, we're making COVID money now. We're making money off of COVID. You know, one of them actually says, my company is evil. I work for an evil company, but he signed non-disclosure agreements. So, you know, they're talking privately, but they're not talking publicly. One of them is a younger black man who's a scientist, and one young lady blatantly asked him, and I know he thought he was on a date. He's just smiling like a cat that ate a mouse. And she asked him, so are you saying don't get the vaccine? And he just kind of chuckles and says, well, you didn't hear me say that. But basically, that's what it seemed like he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason, you know, we feel the way we do. Another thing is, you know, trust. We don't have any trust in these people because they've proven themselves to be untrustworthy. Comedian and the podcaster Joe Rogan. You have to take him with, you know, filters on if you ever listen to him, because he's not a believer. He makes that clear, and he, at times, profanity seems to be a part of his regular vocabulary. But just like you see people on the streets, there are times where people will have a heart, and you'll hear the truth come out. He interviewed Dr. Sanjay Gupta from CNN, and during the interview, So Joe Rogan actually caught COVID, and he had the full-blown COVID. But Joe Rogan, what a lot of people don't know, is he's a health fanatic. And he was in touch with some of those alternative doctors, the frontline doctors and the other people in the medical profession who do not agree with what's going on, but they've been kind of cut off and censored. So he actually was taking the ivermectin, and he got a prescription. He was taking prescription stuff. He didn't just come up with it on his own, and he documented it. And when he had the doctor, Sanjay Gupta, from CNN on, the conversation was fine, but the last 30 minutes it got intense, and Sanjay Gupta had to admit on the air that CNN basically lied. He said, your network lied about me. He said, they told everybody that I took horse medicine. And he was saying, I didn't take any horse medicine. He goes, as a matter of fact, and he pulled the bottle, he said, I have a prescription. He goes, I have money. I don't need to take animal medicine. He goes, I can take human medicine. And he showed the prescription to the camera, and he asked them, why in the world would they say that? And Dr. Sanjay Gupta admitted that CNN made a mistake. They should not have said that. And it almost seemed like they were upset he got better, not using any vaccine. The same thing with the quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, who everybody knows, if you watch some football, Aaron Rodgers is a quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. I kind of laughed because I guess they thought he had the vaccine, because on camera months ago, they asked him if he had a vaccine. He said he was immunized. You know, he said, yeah, he was immunized. So what he didn't reveal was he was taking alternative treatments for his immune system, but he had not taken any vaccine. So he came down with COVID a week ago, and then they found out he actually had not had any vaccine. And it became a big controversy, and he basically was like, look, I'm taking the ivermectin, I'm taking this other medicine, and it's my body. You know, I don't feel like I need to do this, this, and this, and basically told them what they can do with themselves. Now, again, I notice he's young, healthy, strong, and he's still with us. You know, it's just I think a lot of this has become so political and so financially motivated that a lot of people just do not trust these people telling them anything at this point. Here in California, they're starting to mandate it to children, which I think is absolute, that's a red flag if I ever saw one. You can do what you want as an adult, but to try and force that stuff on children when it literally, there's no records of any long-term results after at least 2 years, and you're going to say 5 to 11-year-olds all of a sudden need it to be safe, it makes no sense at all. Because if it's so bad, that where are the COVID outbreaks in the schools? Okay, and if it's so, you were so concerned about their health, how come you let them go to football games and basketball games, and you let them go to the mall? And it just doesn't make any sense how they're saying it's so dangerous, but you can still gather in large crowds and party if you want to. And you know, a lot of this has to do with the current administration. I'm not getting political, I'm just pointing out facts, but the current administration, I saw with my own eyes that, you know, the president, on December 4th, 2020, President Biden said he would not make vaccines mandatory. And then on June 23rd, his press secretary said it was not in the power of the federal government to mandate vaccines. I saw the same thing with Nancy Pelosi, the vice president. They would not, at first they said they wouldn't touch it, and then they said they wouldn't mandate it. And now not only are they mandating it, they're trying to force you to touch it, or you can lose your job depending on what state you're in. You know, they talked all this stuff about the southern states like Texas and Florida. Well, it went through a cycle, and now, again, Florida has some of the lowest rates in the country. And that was with less restrictions. And the governor, you guys, governor down there, he made available some of the same medicines that were healing people, that were helping people that were not vaccine related. Because if you didn't feel like you wanted the vaccine, there were alternative treatments. Those other frontline doctors and other doctors out there who were not afraid to stand up for their actual Hippocratic oath and to help people, they're still going. And you can still get some of this stuff And you can still consult with a physician who actually is not motivated by greed, by pharmaceutical companies or anything other than doing their job and helping people. You know, you just have to do the homework and go online, and they'll give you like a tele-interview and go over your history and everything, and they'll prescribe you actual medicine that you can use if you want it. And I think one thing that's interesting, there's a Dr. Peter Dossi, I believe he's on the University of Maryland staff. He actually pulled up some statistics that counter what we've been told, because I saw the president say that this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Now, I've learned when somebody gives you something like that, they give you a statement, they don't give you all the facts. And to be fair, maybe he doesn't know all the facts. He's just being kind of fed stuff because, well, let's be real, he's not what he used to be. So who knows? He's just reading. But what I started noticing is a lot of people I know who have had the vaccine have, in fact, come down with COVID anyway. And I've noticed people in the hospitals, you know, who are in, they're fully vaccinated. This particular doctor started taking a look at the data, and he noticed something that was kind of scary. He said that the definition of a vaccine was the same from 2006 all the way up to January 18, 2021. After January 26, 2021, they added and changed the definition a little bit. They added the mRNA technology. So it wasn't even a part of our definition until this very year. So, you know, they're changing words, they're changing definitions. We all heard when this first started that first, if you got the vaccine, you wouldn't get sick. Okay, you're not going to get COVID, and you don't even need to wear a mask. Then that changed. Then it was, okay, you need to wear – first, it was they were laughing at us for wearing masks, then they made us wear a mask. Then it was stay within your own circle. So we were walking around looking weird in packs of three and two, and I saw people literally run across the street as if they saw, you know, they used to, the old joke that, it, you know, if a black man was walking down the street, people would cross and hold on to their purse. Now I saw people literally run if you didn't have a mask on in the open air. And it's just, it's got people in such a weird spiritual place. Then they said it was too dangerous to have any kind of gathering, to go shopping. And yet you find these politicians going shopping. You find these politicians at parties with no mask on. You know, they're telling you it's too dangerous. They're telling you you can't do this and you have to do this for America, but then partying for America. You know, so another thing they're not telling is how many people actually lived and survived without the vaccine. They only give you the number of deaths. So we know they're not giving us everything, you know, and I think that's part of what's driving this. But it's coincidentally Mr. James O'Keefe of Project Veritas, his home was raided by the FBI. And that was recently. So he's, oh, yeah, he's going through a little persecution. They're claiming it's because of obtaining something from the Biden family, some kind of diary or something. But it's like, you know, now, I mean, I'm trying everything I can not to be political and just to be fair. But it's like this whole thing is dirty and we all know it. And we know something is wrong when I believe, was it you that served in the military, Ms. Barbara?
No.
Okay. Well, anybody that's ever served in the military, they know they took an oath. And I see more military people willing to walk away from their careers and even risk a dishonorable discharge versus being forced to take something. And out, you know, in California, out here, I talked with there was a sister who was a sheriff. She stopped and made conversation. She said that they're going to lose 50 people. And then I saw for the police department, which is separate from the sheriffs over here, and they said that, you know, they're going to lose probably at least 100 people. And then other people. And then people out here who work for the local transportation and the local city workers, they're not giving the numbers on the news, but they have their own group online. There's about 500 of them, and that number is growing, of firemen, police, and everyone else who is willing to walk away. They're willing to walk away from everything because they just don't want to be forced to do this. So the reason I'm discussing this on Jesus in the Morning is because I believe the situation has turned 100% spiritual now. You know, it's not just about health, and we know that. It's about control at this point. Because if they really cared about health, then they would do things to help promote health. They would give us access to everything. Don't just give us a story. It reminds me of when Jesus was tempted by the enemy, you know, in the first books of the gospel, where he was taken out in the wilderness. He said, all you have to do is bow down to me, and I'll give you all of this. And then he quotes scripture, believe Deuteronomy. But what the devil does is he doesn't give you everything. He didn't quote the scripture in context. He didn't give you the full text of what it means. Now, of course, that was Jesus, so he knew what it meant. But we need to be, you know, wise and gentle as far as how we handle information. We can't just accept things from these people because they continually lie to us. And I think that I listened to the I think it was the FDA and the CDC was having a conference. And again, this stuff is very, very boring, but you have to be informed. At least listen to it once. And they had a conference that went for about 4 hours on whether or not they were going to approve the vaccine for the children. It was obvious from the very beginning that they had no intention of hearing anybody have any point counter to what they wanted to say. And they only had doctors that agreed with them. One phone call kind of broke through was a British gentleman who overseas is seeing things differently. And he said, you know, please don't do this. He goes, because we're seeing all kinds of issues over here with the vaccines we're using. He was saying, now at least stay away from the children. They didn't listen to him. And they only let people really get their point across who were on their side. So it was obvious from the very beginning that they were going to approve this stuff. But there is a whole group of people out there. You just have to do your homework online and find them who dissent, who are speaking out against this stuff. These are medical professionals and scientists and doctors who are risking everything. In Canada, you have doctors getting censored to the point where they're losing their careers, but they feel like they have to tell the truth, the fact that they know how to help people get better, and they have seen adverse reactions to these things. But whatever is going on behind the scenes is a powerful, powerful machine that is up against all these people. And that's why you have now there's not a day that goes by that there's not a protest somewhere in the world against this. And again, a lot of what they're not saying is a lot of the people protesting actually are fully vaccinated. And I'm gonna say something that might surprise some folks, but I think a very small segment of people might actually be, you know, okay to get a vaccine. They might benefit from it. But when they say something, who are in a category that's rare, well, rare is a word that sounds like is scarce. But when you look at the numbers, well, rare has equaled like thousands of people dying from this stuff. That's not acceptable. That is unacceptable. And again, there's a one video I suggest people take a look at after they've finished with everything else. Senator Ron Johnson. He has a YouTube channel. They can't really censor him because he's a senator. Senator Ron Johnson, who, again, he said, look, I am vaccinated, but there's a lot of people who are having issues. And what he's done is organize these conferences for people to speak who have been adversely affected. He did one just last week, and he lets them speak. And it's one of the saddest things you see, these people who were perfectly healthy before who had bad reactions. The reason I'm speaking out is because these people have no one to run to, and they have nothing. Insurance won't help them. The doctors won't help them. They encourage you to get this stuff, and then soon as something happens to you, they like, hey, that's sorry. That's tough. Goodbye. That's unacceptable. And for the Christian people who are encouraging folks to do this stuff without thinking, and the reason I like this program is you're 100% real. I appreciate you for that. So I'm going to get real too. Someone's toes might get stepped on here, but I saw T.D. Jakes and the director, the black film director who was supposed to be a Christian, Devin Franklin, and others saying basically that, you know, faith without works is dead. You need to take this vaccine and pray about it while you take it. Okay. I'll just say that's one of the few times it's good I wasn't around with the microphone. I probably would have been escorted out, because when you say something like that and you ignore the thousands, the literal thousands of people who have been permanently affected by this stuff, you know, like the sellout church in New York that let that the governor get up there and say that the vaccine was a cure from God.
Mm-hmm.
And that she needed people to go out and be her apostles for her and to spread her message. Joking or not, these people, to me, they sold out. And they should have never been allowed behind a pulpit. And I'm going to say maybe T.D. Jakes and Devin Franklin, maybe their heart was in the right place, but I'm just going to hope that the case is they didn't have all the information. The reality is you can't say something irresponsible like that and ignore the people who have been adversely affected. And you guys are rich. They're rich. They don't have to worry about adverse effects if something happens. But what about the people who are out of work because they did what they thought was right, and now they can't work anymore, and they can't get anybody to listen to them because everybody's being censored and no one wants to touch it. So I don't think it's too Christian to talk like that until you have all the information from the people who are now adversely affected, who are part of a segment of society that's being erased. So,
well, I'll tell you, Brother Anthony, I trust God. That's what I can do, is trust him. And I remember when this thing first come out and the scripture was running rampant. If my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive the sins and their sins. But listen, we're going to have all this kind of stuff. Because if you don't know when God is speaking and when he's not speaking, you're going to be messed up. I mean, you can get all the information from the library, from anybody that's putting it out. But if you're not getting your information from Almighty God, you're not getting a yes, no, okay. Look, be careful. That's all I can say today. Because the devil come but to kill, steal, and destroy. And they don't think about that because they're in the world and somewhat of the world. And when a leader do all this kind of stuff, a leader say all this kind of stuff, where have you been seeking God? Why would you do this? And just like you said, they don't even know the number of people that have been affected by this and hurt. And like you said, I have money. I don't have to worry about all that. If something happened to me, I can hire a 24-hour round-the-clock nurse to take care of me or mine or whatever. But when I'm just supporting another system, because see stuff without checking it out thoroughly. And like I said, without God, they'll follow stuff. And they follow all this stuff, and you don't know what these people do in the backdrop. You don't know what they do behind the scenes. This is why this COVID thing come. People was welcome here. I opened my door and let people right in. Come on, I want you to see it. I want you to see for yourself that I'm real, what I say is real, what I do is real. There's nothing behind the scenes for you to see, because I bring everything out in the open. If you talk to my children, what I told you is what my children is going to tell you. I'm not a liar. I don't have a motive. I'm not chasing after money. Money's going to pass away. There are things money, it answers all things, but it can't buy everything. If it could, my daughter would still be living, and many more people, but money wouldn't do it. So you can chase it. You can chase to save your own life, you're going to lose it. But if you're willing to lose your life for him, you're going to save it. And we just got to get in the word of God and not have a form of godliness. See, because spiritually, if you got a spiritual walk with God, his word says walk in the spirit, that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh, but we chasing after some other stuff. We must sell out to Jesus, sell out to God with a whole heart. I promise you he going to speak. But you got to listen. You got to listen. And that's what happened a lot of times. God has spoken, but the church won't say amen. They keep doing what they want to do. They want to look like the world. They want to be a part of the world. They want the world to continue to do what it's doing. And God is shutting things down. He's doing it this way. He's cutting that. He's cutting this out. We don't see any of that. There's something great coming. We see none of this because we're focused in the world. I'm just telling you the truth. But when you put your eye on God, you put your heart on God, you're going to get to see it. I'm telling you, the first part of next year, we're going to see some stuff. And as the year progresses, you're going to see some stuff. Evil men have come together to do evil. God told us the Antichrist, look at 1 John chapter, the Antichrist is already here. He's been practicing, but now he's coming out more. And he's doing things in a way where man will look at it this way, when over here he's sneaking doing dirt. I'm talking about a dirt that will destroy you. The scripture says to watch as well as pray. I belong to God. If I die, my body's is going to the dirt, and my soul is going, my spirit is going with him. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And nothing wrong with, he said it's a knowledge, wisdom. He said it's a fool. So when we hear these things, I mean, you don't have to turn it off, because you need to know. Nothing wrong with learning. I'm taking Spanish classes. I told you in a few minutes I'll be on the keyboard. I'm always trying to learn something. But my whole life is in God, and God is in my life. I'm led by the Spirit of God. He leads and guides me into all truth. Now, if something's coming up weird, he's going to let me know. He's going to shake me. Hey, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't be a part of this. Listen, but protect your heart. Guard your heart with that. You love these people, cut them loose. Cut them loose. Cut them loose quickly. He does all of this for his people. But the only way to know he's doing it, we must be in tune with him. Because we can't serve two masters. I can't serve my flesh and God. I got to serve him and bring this flesh under subjection. Many people got so scared. Oh, my goodness. I wish you could see some of the texts and emails and went berserk because they heard a little bit of information. The news say, well, the paper said, I saw mine. Well, what did them 66 books say? Let me ask you about that. What the Bible said about it? what God said, because you said you was a believer. I mean, you used to scream and shout and bang at folk and all of that, holy, religious, and so holy you wasn't no earthly good. A sinner couldn't come up on the scene because you want to baptize him in awe and not bring him to the altar to God by your light shining. You were too busy criticizing. Now this can come apart. I felt like Patsy Cline. Fall to pieces. Yeah, I'm telling you now. But we got to get right with God. Listen, I want to go back to this right here right quick. Brother Mike said this. Wait a minute. And I do like it. Hold on a minute, y'all. When you was talking about the booster shot, bro, Jermaine, he said, it can't be a vaccine then if you need a booster. As children, mm-hmm. We all got vaccines but never went back for boosters because those were really vaccines. Yeah, right. I like it. Later on, they came out with a booster to go back to school and that kind of thing. But see, I believe in all of that, that they had an agenda. Yeah. See, that's why we watch as well as pray, and know what the words say, because evil men come together to do evil. I'm telling you now. And it's going to happen for many who say, we believers, we this and that, because we don't seek God. We chase, run right out to get it. Soon as I hear about it, I'm right there to get it. The latest shoes, the latest purse, all this so crazy madness, we run out there to get the foolishness. Don't even know what we're doing. Don't know what we're doing. We're showing God, hey, I'm of the world, in the world. I'm going to be by the world. I'm going to talk about you later. And God, I'll talk to you later. You just stay right there. When I need you, I'll come back and holler at you. You can't do it like that. You can't put him in a box, call him out when you get ready. You got to walk in him daily. Yeah. His word said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And he wasn't just talking about the knowledge of the world. He talking about that word. Yeah, because if you don't know the word, you're not going to know what to do, you won't know. And many won't be able to tell you, this is why we're getting in that word. I mean, we're going to stay in it because of this. At that time, when darkness and all this stuff come, because some stuff coming our way, we will be able to help somebody. We'll still be that candle on the hill that can't be hid. We'll still be that for somebody. Because I'm telling you, evil men come together to do evil. And you think somebody care about you. I know people think they do, but I'm telling you, you're in for a rude awakening. That devil don't care about nobody. I don't think the devil care about himself. He's so evil. I think he'll destroy himself just to destroy as many as possible. Yeah. But we holding on to God and nothing else but him. Because he's the author and finisher of our faith. Without him, we can do nothing. Yeah. But that was some good information today, Brother Jermaine. And then Brother Lewis chimed in. And I heard that about the unborn children tissue. I heard that somewhere. Already.
Right.
Yeah. And right. That is good.
You know, Sister Barbara, real quick, I'm going to mute myself. When you mentioned the news, a lot of people was going on as we became lazy and just listened to what we fed. But when people listen to those videos, and you got to listen for yourself, but one of the scientists or one of the people who worked for the pharmaceutical companies said, you can't trust the news at all. He didn't know he was being recorded. Again, he said he wouldn't trust the news at all. So. Mm-hmm. If anybody just trusts just what they given, that's on them.
Brother Jermaine, do you have the name of these videos that you can give to everybody? You may not be able to find them, and then you may be able to find them. You may be heavy enough to find them. But I wanted you to get the name of these videos where you could go take a listen for yourself.
Okay.
Brother Jermaine said, well, Sister Barbara said, no. You went and got it for yourself. You said, because the video
right.
said.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to show everybody how to really get to it. It's Project Veritas. That's Veritas. That's they have their own website. And if you want to just search it in YouTube, you have to manually do it. You have to go to YouTube, whatever search engine you like, YouTube, and then look up Project Veritas. Their channel will come up. You click on their channel and you scroll through the videos in their catalog until you come to COVID-19 exposed, and they have five videos just on the COVID situation, and then there's a couple more that are related, people who got fired for being whistleblowers. That's how you find it. And then there's so much stuff out there, but these are most important. The last one, Senator Ron Johnson, and just look up the people who had adverse reactions, and you'll see they have these people out there, but we just have to go through alternative media to find them. So those are the most important ones. There's so many that I don't even have time to give them all. But these people exist. We know they out there. And, you know, we're not going to let anybody forget that there's another side of, you know, the population that likes to think. We don't just do what we're told without getting the information. And so those churches that shut down because of fear of COVID, yet they open up to become vaccine centers, I mean, to me, it's kind of a shame. You were so afraid to preach about the Lord, but you wasn't afraid to have people come get your vaccine. Mm. And again, I think it's a situation where two people could pray about the same thing and have a different answer. You know, I've had family members do it. You know, some family members of mine, they did it. We prayed about it, and they actually told me not to do it after they took it. So everybody has to pray and go with whatever they feel they led to do. But I'm just saying, be informed. Let's go out and get all this information and make an informed decision. But yeah, I'm going to go ahead and mute myself. But Project Veritas, you look that up, and that'll take you to what you need to see.
Okay. All right, man, you got it. Project Veritas, check out the COVID-19 expose. And what you find in that. And because I'm sure it's a lot of people want to see it, and, you know, they want to know all about it, and they want to take their time going and look and that kind of thing. And nothing is wrong with that. It's a food that describes knowledge.
It's Veritas. It's about Veritas.
Veritas.
Veritas. Veritas.
Veritas. Okay, Veritas. All right. Y'all know I got a problem with them words look like. In my Spanish class, I'm working on that thing because I'm pronouncing words like I speak English. But I am working on it daily. Yeah. But I thank God this morning for his word. I thank him for being on our side today. In spite of us looking beyond our fault, enemy, our knees, we're his people. But we got to get in his word for ourselves. Pray for wisdom. And ask God to help us so that we can understand it the way he wants us to understand it. And we can apply it to our everyday life the way he wants us to apply his word. That way we'll live it. You'll live it daily. Hallelujah. So if anyone, I moved the page, y'all, have something they would like to say, press that number one and come in and share with us. All right, Brother Anthony. Good morning. God bless you, sir. How are you?
Bless, highly favored. Good morning, Ms. Barbara. First of all, I want to give thanks. God, thank you for life, heaven spent, keeping the right mind. Thank you for everything you're doing in my life. Thank you for allowing me to see another day. Thank you for the activity in my limbs. And just blessed to be here another day to, you know that, you know, I'm alive and well and in good health. And just thank God. And good morning to you, Brother Jermaine. And everybody this morning, Brother Louis, Brother Frank, Sister Jerry, Sister Samoa, Sister Fionn, Sister Rita, Sister Kim Hawks, Brother Mike Hawks, Mother Angela Leafoot, Angela Leafoot, good morning to all y'all. Kind of bumping this morning, and I might go out, about to go in this pit, but I just want to say good morning, and if I ain't call your name, I'm thinking about you, and you're in my heart. Good morning to y'all, and just thank God for the word and fellowship and the wisdom and knowledge, you know, that God give us, you know, that we can share with others, you know, to help us through this walk. And I just trying to listen in and pay attention and, you know, gotta be careful, like you said, about the virus and taking stuff. And, you know, I think my grandmother, she took the virus, you know. I mean, not took the virus, but took the vaccine, excuse me. And, you know, like you said, you know, take it and pray about it, you know. And that's what my grandma, you know, that's what my grandma said, you know. She said, you know, we're going to die, and leaders are, and you know, I kind of look at it, you know, she up of age, you know, close to 80 years old now, you know, she's 1 year from being it, so next year she'll be 80, and you know, she done lived her life, you know.
I think you went out, Brother Anthony.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, you're back.
It'll go in and out. I'm just thinking about what my grandma said about, you know, taking the vaccine. You know, she said we're going to have to die for some one day, and we ain't going to be here forever. So, you know, like she, you know, I think about what Brother Jermaine was saying about TDJs and them saying about take the vaccine and pray about it. You know, and my grandma kind of said the same thing, and, you know, she asked me, and I said, well, grandma, I said, I ain't going to take it. You know, I just don't feel right about taking it, you know. And she done asked me a couple times. But, you know, I guess she done saying I done made up in my mind that I wasn't going to do it, you know. And she, you know, she said, you know, everybody is entitled to their own or what they want to do, you know. So she ain't stressing me about it, you know. And you know, I done already had COVID already, so, you know. Lord bless me to still be here alive and well, and you know, I know it was God with me because I done, you know, knowing people got COVID and that, and you know, just knowing, you know, the symptoms in the house, you know, on the death bed, you know, have a mouth, you know.
Yes, sir.
Because it could have been worse, but by the grace and mercy, you know, and
but you're going out, bro.
You know, like, walk a straight path, and you know, took in and strive to, you know, live in Him the best I can, you know, with what He gave me, and you know, I just thank God again for this ministry and. Thank God for everybody that's connected to me in divine connection, you know. And I just ask Him, you know, to let me be a light to others, you know, that, you know, He'll get the glory and honor and praise out of my life. So I thank God. And I just ask y'all to continue to pray for me. And I keep y'all in my prayers. And y'all have a blessed rest of the day. Amen.
Amen. You too, Brother Anthony. God bless you. God bless you this morning. And all I know for you is to pray and hear from the Lord. Yeah. And see, this is what we got to learn to do, too. And see, and the majority of us are not vaccinated. Okay. That's what Apostle Boatwright is saying. She said, amen. Our church never missed a prayer meeting, Bible study class, or any service. No one became sick and no one contracted the virus. And we are still operating by the power and grace of Almighty God. And the majority of us are not vaccinated. Outstanding. No vaccine. Yeah. If you trust Him, if you got Him. Now, if you don't have Him, it's going to be some problems because you don't have Him. But if you got Him, His word is true. Look it up. Look up what He said about you. Look at Apostle Paul. The scorpion bit the man. Come on. He did not die. He was supposed to. Anybody else who would have bit who didn't have God, they would have died. Yeah. Okay. Let me see if Jerry got something to say. Jerry, did you press the one to say something?
Yes, ma'am. I was on the news the other day. And they were talking about the testing. First, it was supposed to be free. But as of last night, they were talking about the testing and your insurance. And if your insurance don't pay, it's going to be like $2,600 and some dollars. Also, the people that's refusing to take the vaccine, they were going to mandate that you be tested, but you have to pay for the testing. It was just on the news last night.
Okay, now, Jerry, when you say that, all right, is that for working people? Who is that for?
Yeah, the working people, you know, like, okay, you're not going to take the vaccine. Okay, fine. But you will have to be tested. We're not going to pay for this test. The test is like $2,600 and some dollars.
Okay.
So it's like,
wait a minute. Say that again, Brother Jermaine.
I was going to say, I'm in that category. I get tested every week. It depends on the kind of, she's right, but it also depends on the kind of test. Because at my place of employment, a bunch of us are doing weekly testing. We've been doing that for a while anyway. But what you can do is you can get our tests are provided for us at my company. But what they have to legally allow is a test that you can get at Walgreens, actually, or CVS. I don't know what you guys call your local little pharmacy drugstore. But those tests are pretty cheap. But I believe the one she's talking about is there's like more of a high quality test that they're trying to get some people to have to pay for out of pocket. That's trying to threaten the first responders. But even then, you shouldn't have to pay anything if they're forcing you to do it. But yeah, I get tested every week.
And that's where I'm in agreement with you, Brother Jermaine. While they're forcing me to do, and they're making me pay, when it's for you, that it's my body. Why are you so concerned about mine and me?
I'm concerned about you. Did you hear that $2,000? I'm concerned for that money. Like
I
said, street.
Why? Why are you all making me do something I don't want to do? I don't want to take a shot. Now you got to stick it up my nose, and you're going to charge me $2,000. Are you serious? I'm just going to say, everybody have a great day, because I'm not going to let this affect me, not my day.
How
you want me to, I mean, let's think about a teller. She don't even make $2,000 a month. And you want her to take a test for $2,000.
Well, look, I want you to look at this right quick. Wasn't they talking about keeping the economy up and all this stuff, and they needed the money back in the country? They talking about that. Now, if all these people stop working and they don't have no money, they're not spending no money, what's up? And if I'm telling you, if I was a responder, a doctor, a nurse, all of us that could bind together, we'd just walk away. If it was possible, if I didn't have to pay for this and pay, and if I had to and I could go live with my parents or with somebody who believed like I believe, I just, y'all do what you're doing. Let's see what you get with this. Yeah, because that's ridiculous.
First they said it was free, though. See, I mean, you say one thing one day, one thing another day. Make up your mind. God's word is, if I said it, I meant it. Don't tell me it's hot today and I walk out the house and it's 30 degrees.
But, Gabriel, who y'all think y'all are dealing with? Jesus? You're dealing with man.
Lies and alibis I do despise. The more I hear lies, I need a greater alibi. Because this is all about money, money, and more money. Somebody does not have enough yachts, helicopters, or something. But this push now, you're going to force me to take a test and pay for it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even make enough to come to work and buy a pair of shoes to come work for you guys. Stop being so concerned about me. Worry about your own self.
Look, that ain't good.
Myself, because I'm getting angry.
Okay, well, calm down, Jerry. Calm down. It's all right today, but you care about me, but you're going to charge me. Look, it's too much in there. I'm telling y'all, pray. And pray in here. Trust God today, for real, for real. He is real, and he said in his word what he would do for us. And he knows his plan is concerning us, nothing evil. is good, and he's going to bring us to an expected end. I expect to have a good ending. He's going to bring us there. But we got to get in that word and know what the word says about the times, what's going on, what's going to happen, what should we do when all this happens. The only way you're going to get, in the word of God, praying for wisdom, praying for knowledge, praying for understanding. Everything going down but his word, I promise you. Hallelujah. So listen, we got 3 minutes. I'm going to pray out. We pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. Let's pray. Thank you, Brother Jermaine. God bless you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all that has been said and done. Thank you for your word today. For Father, your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. As we depart this morning, Father, sanctify us through thy truth, for thy word is truth. Father, move upon us today and give us knowledge and understanding. Father, speak to hearts and minds concerning these things. But Lord, I don't believe they for us. I believe it's for the world. I believe to look to the hills from which cometh our help. All of our help comes from you. You made the heavens and the earth. And Father, you said we're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. No weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. Hallelujah. We trust you this morning with all our heart and lean out to our understanding. And all our ways we are acknowledging you. Father, you'll direct our path. You'll tell us if or if not we should take this stuff that man is offering where evil men have come together. We ask it this morning in Jesus' name. And Father, bless our going out and our coming in. Meet the need in our lives today according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from another, in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of what God loves and cheer forgiver. Have a blessed day. Ask the blessings of Almighty God upon you. November 11, 2021, in Jesus' name. Happy Veterans Day. God bless you. Have a blessed day. And I'm going to say bye-bye to those in the chat room later, Gators, after a while, Cracker Die, and later, Tatum. All right, so we're going to our last song of the morning, and after this song, I won't be coming back. Hallelujah, God is faithful to us. He is faithful to us. Okay, where did this come from? All right, I think this is it, Louis.
How can they live without God's love? How can they feel so at home down here when there's so much more up above? Throwing away the things that matter, they hold on to things that don't. The world has gone crazy, but maybe we're not doing all we can, living up to his holy word. His bodies have come and wrong's been done, even killing in Jesus' name. And if you've been burned, here's what I've learned, the Lord's not the one to blame. But he's just not love is for stubborn rebellious world, while their hate for him just goes on. And love just like that will bring him back for the few he can call his friend. The ones he's found true, who've made it through, enduring until the end. The ones he's found true, who've made it through, enduring until the end.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Oh, I gotta get 35 hours. Mm-hmm.